Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is April 24th, 2013. We are already moving towards the end of April, if you can believe it. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Molly McCord. I am your host here on Conscious Cool Chic Radio, and I am also the person behind ConsciousCoolChic.com. It's a popular spirituality website. Please check it out. Click on over while you're listening and see if it resonates for you, and if there's anything there that you would like to see more of, I'm always open to your suggestions and ideas, and I love to interact with people. I love to know who's out there listening on the other side. Today's show is going to be really empowering. I have some information here to share with you from my spiritual team that I need to hear, and I feel many of us need to hear, so I'm excited to pass that on. For those of you who are brand new to the show, I am an intuitive, an astrologer, an author. I do a lot of different types of sharing, communication, everything. It's funny to have to put yourself into certain titles, but that's what we do. And so I'm always expanding and growing and trying to figure out what I want to do next, meaning I'm open to it. And that's how I've always lived my life. So I am happy to be doing this radio show because it's a wonderful way for me to share all of these gifts with you. In addition to being an intuitive, I'm an empath. I am clairaudient, which means I hear things. And I'm claircognizant, which means I know things. And I always think it's funny to say, I know things. So those are some of my talents, and I receive a lot of messages from Spirit throughout the day, as do you, and I love, love sharing it. So that's what the premise of the show is about. Thank you for being here. I know there's lots of ways you can spend your time, and I appreciate that you are choosing this hour to spend with me. So for today's show, we're talking about completing healing paradigms and living in joy, moving into joy, choosing joy. So I'm going to share with you some of the visuals and information I received around these areas. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk astrology. I'm going to share with you what's going on here with this big lunar eclipse that's currently, the energy is coming in and it's currently really blasting us on some levels. I'm going to talk about it in relation to the astrology chart. So I encourage you to get your astrology chart. You can get a free copy at astro.com. Sign in, create a free account, enter your birth data, and you will then be able to select under free horoscopes. You can select your chart drawing, and it will show you your astrology chart. And from there, we will dive into what the lunar eclipse energy is and how it's showing up for you, and just give you a little bit more specifics on that, because I think that's what we all look for. You know, there's tons of general information out there, but it's good to know more of the specifics. Just before the show started, my throat started getting a little catchy, like my throat chakra is clearing off more energy. So excuse me if I have to clear my throat a few times. I might need to mute myself to take a sip of water. But that just started. Very interesting, right? That just started literally 10 minutes before this show. So obviously, as I am speaking and sharing with you, I am also clearing out some of my own energies that are ready to be released. So let's get going with today's topic because I'm looking forward to this. This one feels really good to me. We're talking about completing healing paradigms. And many of us have been involved in healing cycles for eons, lifetimes. You know, it's beyond our understanding or comprehension even. We've just been in these cycles for so long. And what I was shown by my spiritual team was this very cool visual of a spiral. And I want you to imagine a spiral, but imagine that the base of that spiral is very wide. It's very wide. You can visualize that however it shows up for you, whether wide is 5 feet or 500 feet or across the planet, whatever wide means to you. But just imagine that there is a very wide bottom to this spiral. And then as it moves up, 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 it starts to get narrower. And the visual that comes to my mind is a tree, specifically a Christmas tree, but that idea that it is a triangle, okay? So the base is very wide, and then it moves up, and the tip gets narrower, and the spiral is smaller. It's a tighter circle. And so for many of us, our energy, our soul energy, came into the planet at a time when the spiraling energy was at the base. We were at literally like that beginning point of energetic creation, and we came to lift the energy and move it through the spiral. So we have within our DNA and our cellular structures the experience of things moving very slowly, of feeling the heaviness, of moving at a time when humanity was literally in the dark, but I feel it as it was even before the dark ages, quote unquote. This is about when we first brought our energy to this planet. So we have this soul experience of being here at the time of literally creation of when energy was just getting started. And because of that, many of us are pioneers. We are the ones who volunteered to go first in our soul groups. We volunteered to go first in a certain area of expertise. We agreed to master certain areas of our soul's experiences. We essentially are the ones who said, yes, I can do it, and I'm willing to go first. And so we came here with that intention and that energy behind us, supporting us. And yet as we moved through our different incarnations and soul experiences, we started to energetically collect the energies of that time. We collected the experiences of hate, anger, doubt, fear, resentment, persecution, betrayal. I mean, that list goes on and on, right? That can be a long list because we've shown up so many times here to do our work and to bring humanity forward. So we have been traveling on this spiral, and when we've been moving through it, we've been collecting these energies, and it's been affecting us on an energetic imprint level, but doesn't affect our soul, right? Because our soul is pure light, pure essence, pure high vibe love. But when we come back here, we also agree with every incarnation to finish what we didn't finish before. You know, you got to complete your homework. You've got to follow through on your commitments and what you said you would learn. So we showed up again and again to move through these lessons. And as we did so, we moved through this spiral. And the spiral goes up, like I said, and as it goes up, it collects speed. It starts to go a little faster. And so that was part of humanity's evolution and growth and our participation in that. So we said, okay, I'm coming back. I'm going to do it differently this time. I'm going to do it better. And for the most part, that is true. And it's funny how those can be the lifetimes we forget. We forget how awesome we are. We forget the times that we were celebrated or that we had very peaceful experiences. We forget the times when we were here and we had a very joyful life with everything we needed, where we didn't have an accumulation of more fears. We accumulated more love, more satisfaction, more abundance, more peace. We also have those within our energetic imprint. So as we moved up the spiral, we had a tendency to collect both sides of the spectrum. We collected, we'll call them the fear vibes, and we also accumulated the love vibes. As we move up the spiral, we're spiraling up, the energy on the planet is speeding up, more awareness is spreading, more people are being connected in new ways. I mean, this connects to history. Think about the explorer setting off, you know, Christopher Columbus leaving Barcelona and traveling across the Atlantic and everywhere he went. Think about the other explorers who went to India, who ventured into, discovered new lands. I mean, this is what I'm talking about with the spiral. The energy increased so that we had more ways to connect to each other, to expand our energies, to get out into the world and see what's going on here. What do we got? What's this about? So as we move through history, quote unquote, which is how we have captured these different periods of time and space, we have been expanding our experiences and we have accumulated more of these fear-based energies that were unconscious. And it's kind of like that, like a backpack or like something tied around your legs, or it's just on you. You know, it just makes you heavier. And yet, at the same time, the energy on the planet kept increasing in a way that allowed us to move through things and essentially release some of these experiences as they came up and return to our soul's experience of joy on this planet. So as we're moving up the spiral in our own individual ways, in a way that is perfect for our own taste, our own soul choices, our own soul lessons, we are working with these fears, but there isn't a way to move through them as quickly as we want all the time. There isn't a way to be done with them. We keep coming back to master them. And so what has happened is that as we have spiraled up, further and further, we have spiraled up with mass consciousness. Humanity's consciousness is increasing. And it's been increasing exponentially so. Think back to the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I mean, these are all these time periods in our lifetimes when humanity's consciousness has been jumping and moving forward, and it's because of the pioneers. It's because of the people going first out there who are sharing, who are educating, who are providing information and resources, right? This is part of us. If you're listening to this show, you are part of this group as well, these pioneers who are out there. Maybe you're not selling a book, or you're not on television, or you aren't doing something in a public way, but energetically, you are participating, and energetically, you are here. Okay, so I want to acknowledge that. I think that's very important to know that this is how we're all connected. You know, we're all moving up this spiral together. And so here we are, moving up the spiral that gets narrower, it gets tighter, and the energy just moves faster and faster and faster. Now, what I have felt very strongly is that many of us who have been doing this work for a while have been doing it sort of like a tugboat, where you're pulling the barge. Yeah, you're pulling people forward, and we've become accustomed to that weight. We've come accustomed to being in that role. Well, as we get up to the spiral, When we get to the top of it, it becomes narrower and the energy moves faster and you can literally release things like that. You can get rid of stuff instantly. You can move the energy so quickly for yourself that it's faster than you've ever known. And in fact, it's brand new to your soul as in terms of an experience on this planet. It's one of the reasons why so many of us are here, why this earth is populated at 6 billion and growing right now. It's because so many souls wanted to be here at this time to participate in the highest vibration ever, to participate in how this spiral is so big and so influential in terms of the energy. And so here we all are. We're spiraling up, up, faster, faster, and it's easier than ever now to get rid of stuff we've been carrying, to release these energetic imprints we've had for lifetimes, to work with them, to own them, to come back to a place of power around them. And I mean this specifically by all of the different healing modalities that are almost mainstream. I mean, they're a little bit pseudo-mainstream now. Think about even, say, psychics or myself as an astrologer. Think about all the intuitives out there. Think about people who are doing and practicing Reiki, who are doing different kinds of body healing. Think about energy work. I just spoke with Enos Martins about her Akashic Records work, which is my current favorite thing, is the Akashic Records healing. Think about the past life regressions you could do. Think about all this information we have conscious access to. That's because we're at the top of the spiral. We're at this place where all this information is moving so fast. The energy is higher than it's ever been. We have vibrations that are higher than they've ever been. That is why we're all here. And so what happens is that as we complete this stuff and we throw it off and we're done with it and we release it and we understand the story around it, we are given the opportunity to make new choices at a different energetic level with different intentions and with new awareness about what we want. So we are here at the top of the spiral, and it's spinning and it's spinning and it's spinning. And I see it as, you know, each of us spinning off these energies. And in fact, after my spirit team showed me this beautiful, awesome visual of a spiral and a Christmas tree, they then showed me the image of a Christmas tree farm and basically showed me that every person is the spiral. Each of us has the spiral. You might think it goes up to your head, but actually it goes up to your crown chakra. For most people, it goes to your crown chakra, and it is your access point into more of your soul records and into your DNA and into the energy you carry. And they showed me that this spiral, that it's actually what's happening is that with every new energetic download we receive, we're literally spiraling off more and more and more and more things. And so what has happened is that specifically on December 21st, 2012, we were able to be complete with a lot of these healing paradigms that we've carried for lifetimes. Now, there's something really interesting about this. Okay, December 21st was really built up, and we know it was about the Mayan calendar and all these things around it. And those are all worthwhile things, but it's important to know that those were human-created. You know, Spirit didn't give us a date and said, you've got to do it by this or it's all over. No, it was a human-created date, timeline, that we all agreed to and we all participated in. And the reason why it was heightened is because of that agreement. And so on December 21st, because we agreed that we needed a deadline or else we would just, you know, procrastinate and stay on Facebook all day, we gave ourselves this collective deadline and we agreed to do a lot of the work. And as the tugboats, we did it and we completed so much. And I know that people listening to this show it's interesting. We're all in a different place on our spiritual journeys. That's how it's supposed to be. That's perfect. And there's some people who are new to the show, and you're thinking, oh, I didn't even know, or I haven't done any of this work, or I haven't done enough. You know, you've actually done more than you know, because your choices are divinely timed, and a lot of work can be done in our dream space, in our auric fields, and we each have a different purpose. So I guess what I want to get at really quickly is that if you're thinking, oh, shoot, I'm late to the party, and I didn't bring a present, and I don't want to, you know, feel guilty about that, please don't go there. We just offer that suggestion. Don't go into what you have not done. Look at where you are now. This is what counts. This is what matters. This is where your power is. And so why this is important is because these spirals, this giant collective spiral that I'm talking about, is something that we have created together energetically as a way to remind ourselves of how far we've come, how much energy we've moved, how, you know, just to look at the progress of our souls is incredible. And when we look at that, we also look at how we always have the potential and opportunity to include more joy in this experience, to incorporate it consciously, to really own it as part of what we want to participate in, the energy we want to continue to create. I'm going to talk about joy in just a few moments, but there's a few things I need to share first. So we get to the top of the spiral, this beautiful, awesome, glorious spiral, and then you think, okay, now what? Right? Now I'm at the top. I'm at the top of the pyramid. Where is there to go from here? Well, then my spirit team showed me something that made me laugh, because I think it's pretty American, and I'm American, and this could be in Canada too, I'm not sure, but there's these, we call them lottery scratch tickets, and I lived in Europe for a while, and I don't remember seeing them there, but maybe they're in Europe too, but it's essentially, you buy a scratch ticket, and you take like a penny, and you scratch off the little markings to see what's under it, right? To see what you won, to see if you won, to see, you know, what comes up next. And so my team showed me these lottery scratch tickets as how we continue to move in our soul's growth. And what that means, or what I took that to mean, is that there's always something new to scratch off next. There's always another way to use our energy, to choose a lesson, to look at a theme, to work with the relationship, to master another energy. And so when we complete one of these spirals, it's like we're handed a new area to choose that next spiral, meaning, okay, so we completed one. Well, guess what? Here's another one that you now get to work with. And you get to, you can choose it, or you can see what comes up next, but it's never ending. Your soul is always learning and growing and expanding and mastering something. It's never ending. And so these spirals, you know, we do complete one, but when we are completing one, what's actually happening is that there's another one that sort of is already on top of it, sort of like a, like, you know, you stack different cups, like in your cabinet, you're like, okay, I'm going to stack these plastic cups here and put them away. It's sort of like they are stacked spirals, and so we complete the top of one, but then we're also within another spiral, and we keep going up. I hope that visual makes sense to you. That's just how I see it, and I wish I could show you what my hands are doing. But the idea is that we always have overlapping spiral energies to work with, and that when we complete one paradigm, it is an achievement for our soul. It is celebrated by the universe, and then there's the next one we move up into. And so here we come to a place where, yay, we're done with one form of healing or one energy system. We're done with something. And then we might look around in our life and see other people who are just beginning, who are nowhere near complete by their own choices, who are on different cycles. And so there could be a part of us, especially with all of our past life incarnations, that wants to help, to do something for them. And this is where we have to make our very conscious choices about how to use our energy. What is in the best interest? Think back on your own healing journey. Could anyone really do anything for you? Meaning, could they do the work for you? Could they find the answers for you? Could they answer every question for you? And if you answered yes, do you think that that is in your best and highest good? And do you think that serves you in the best and highest way? Because what I'm getting at here is the understanding that every person is equipped with their own abilities to make the choices that serve them best, in the ways that serve them best, in the times that serve them best, with who they are. And we might have many lifetimes, and just as part of our natural energy, we want to serve and help. But this is a very dicey area, and I could go really into it, and I think you kind of know what I'm getting at here, is that it's easy to help and that your heart and your intentions want to. But at the same time, I offer you this. Know that because they are powerful, their soul is also guiding them. Their higher self is also guiding them. Now, that might not look that way when you see someone making stupid choices or circling around in the same pattern, or you see one solution and they don't see that solution at all. Every person makes the choices that fits their energy. And so the best thing to do with your good intentions, with your energy, with your heart that wants to help, is to send them energy that supports their best and highest growth, if that feels right for you. Have some resources available that you can share, meaning maybe it's a book, maybe it's a website, maybe it's a professional person that you would recommend, you know, hey, if you ever have questions about this again, I would, you know, recommend this person because they really helped me figure something out. Have some things planned out so that you can assist, but what you're assisting is helping them tap into their power instead of you trying to take on their energy or any of their choices. So know who your resources are, what they are, and think back to when you were first starting your spiritual understanding or when you were at a significant life crossroads. What helped you through it? And what would you recommend to yourself in hindsight? So say, okay, you met with this person. Say you met with this psychic. That's my story. I met this psychic in 2001, and that's when my spiritual path started. And I went in to see her for career advice, and I didn't even know it, but that's when I started learning about universal energies. And so I got more than I bargained for in some respects, but I also got the career advice I needed at that time. So looking back, I realized that was a really good person for me to meet with because she gave me the real world advice and the spiritual connections. So just look at the people in your life, and if you find yourself needing to help, and I mean needing to, like there's nothing else you can do in your life, you have to help, that is something within you that still needs to be untangled or worked out, because you need to look at your own intentions around that. Are you needing to help in order to be appreciated, to be acknowledged, to be recognized? Is there something operating there for your own ego satisfaction that you're not aware of? If not, check in and see, can you help this person, and just give them something and let it be and not even care what they decide to do next? that is something to reinforce, because then you're giving information and you're assisting and you're serving, but you're not attached to the outcome. You're not attached to their choices, and you can just let it go and let it be and move on. That is one of the healthiest ways to work with this need. And it is like a muscle where you build it up and you train yourself to not worry or to not fret about something, and you train yourself to let it go. I mean, all of this can take some practice, but it's also honoring you and your work, and it's honoring their choices, that it's honoring where they are in their life and what they have the ability to create for themselves. So ultimately, it's mutually powerful. I'm going to take a quick drink of water, and then we're going to talk about joy, 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 just a moment. Okay, thank you. Thank you for waiting. Joy. Now, I've talked about this in previous shows, that peace, love, gratitude, joy, forgiveness, compassion, these are all eternal energies that are always available to us. It's like they're always floating all around the planet, just like cosmic energy, like space, like the stars. It's always present. It's always right there, okay? But we have to reach for that energy. We have to initiate contact with it. We do that with our intentions, with our thoughts, with our emotions. It's always present, just like the sun. It's always present, but it requires us to connect to it regardless of where we are. And just like all these emotions, they're always available to us, and we have the ability to bring them into our life regardless of external circumstances, regardless of emotions we're having, regardless of anything else that's going on. We always have access to these high vibe energies, and that is, in fact, one of the main things about being a human being, is that we are learning to incorporate them into our lives. We're bringing that spiritual goodness into our lives on a daily basis. So the question is, I'm specifically focusing on joy here, what is joy to you? And I am looking for what type of joy is as a singular activity or expression that is only dependent upon your energy, just you. Not about meeting up with friends or an awesome vacation or a romantic date night. I mean, all those things, yes, they are joy too. But this is different. This is joy based on you. We're going back to the idea of you as a singular, beautiful spiral and the joy of that, the joy in there. Just this week, let's see, today's Wednesday, so Sunday night, I had a terrible night. I know there's lots of solar flares going on and lots of energy was up, but it was like I was in bed sleeping and I just felt all this anxiety out of nowhere. It kept me up at night. I couldn't go to sleep, and I think I was up till maybe even 2 a.m. And it was just scary, and it came out of nowhere. And you know how, at least for me at night, when something's scary, it seems to get amplified. And then you don't have any reason, your mind gets spinning and you're awake and you go, go, go. So that was my Sunday night. Monday I woke up, and I have two good friends that I talk to regularly, and I just tell them, I said, last night was crazy for me. I don't know what was going on, but this is what was coming up. And I told them, you know, X, Y, Z. One of them said, last night was intense for me too. She didn't sleep either. And that's always a little bit comforting. Like, you're not the only one up late. And so I ended up having a clearing session with one of these friends, and we looked at the energies that were coming up and how they were connecting with some bigger themes that were going on and some stuff that I was completing, that I was healing, and we ended it. Like, it's one of the wonderful things about the spiral energy being so strong right now is that we literally let it be complete and ended it and called in the high vibe energies after we got to the root of it. And I tell you, I was bouncing off the walls then. I hadn't even, like I said, I didn't even sleep very well. I had so much energy. And I realized what I needed to do was I really needed to be in this joy. And so I went to a craft store. And here in the States, there's a craft store called Michael's Craft Supply or something, and it's huge. It's one of those warehouse places that has all kinds of stuff, you know, the papers and the fabrics and the decorations and crafts and paints and all that. I spent 2 hours in Michael's, the craft store. I have some big life events coming up, and I had some ideas I was considering, and I ended up walking probably every inch of that store, thinking about this and thinking about that, and what about this, and then this color, and how about this idea, and no, this. I mean, I was in it. And it's because I just was so immersed in the joy of creating. I was so happy and light and fully in the process. Do you know what I mean? Like when you are fully involved in something, it just elevates you and takes you to another place where time doesn't exist. I can't tell you where that 2 hours went. I looked at my phone and was just baffled. And that's the other thing. I was in the store for 2 hours and I never looked at my phone until I left. And I thought that alone was an achievement. So for me, I find joy in the creative process of something and being fully immersed. And even if it's walking into a store, a craft store, not having any ideas, I just let it flow and walk around and go into what I want to consider and follow it, you know, follow that energy. Another way I find joy in my own energy is I'm one of those people, and I know this is going to sound weird, but I like going to the gym. Because when I get on the elliptical or the treadmill, I can go through the motions and then my mind can go somewhere else. I don't have to be aware of the environment that I'm running in. I don't have to look at what my body is even doing. I can just almost turn off my body and go into a different space. So for me, the joy of a gym, I know it's weird, but it's true. I find joy in the gym. I also love just going for walks by myself, even if it's 20 minutes. If it's 10 minutes here and there, that brings me a lot of instant happiness. And I am a big reader. And I don't mean on an ebook even. I mean a physical book because I disconnect from the technology and just enjoy the senses. And so yesterday I read in the sunshine for an hour. Got out a chair, sat in the sun with my sparkling water and read. And I was so happy. And of course, I had a good book, so that makes all the difference. But this is the way that I incorporate joy into my life. It's, you know, every days get busy. It can't be every day, but it can be regularly, and it is about taking it as it comes. Now, this leads me into 5 tips to share with you, and that first one is it might not always be convenient, but it's essential for you. And this isn't new information. You already know this, that it is essential to not only have the downtime, but to have the play time, to get away and just enjoy everything that you can do in your own energy. My second tip is that I think it's important, very important, to detach from technology and electronics. Got to get away from this stuff. The technology and electronics has different vibes. It changes how we think and how we act and how we move. You've got to get away from that and back to your natural self. Everybody is creative and artistic. This is my third tip. Everyone is. Even if you don't consider yourself a painter or a writer or whatever you consider as traditional creation, there's something you're creating. There's something you can explore and play with. It could be music. It could be stretching and yoga. I mean, all of that is artistic and creative as well. So I would expand the definition of creativity to make sure it includes all of your ways of expression. My fourth tip is that joy changes with the seasons, literally with the four seasons. It changes with the energies that are circling, and it also changes with your personal growth. So let it evolve. Maybe you enjoyed writing poetry when you were younger and it doesn't bring you as much joy now, but there's other things that do. So just follow the energies, follow what feels right for you at this time and allow it to shift. And then my fifth tip is that joy and what brings you joy, what works for you, can be private and sacred. Doesn't have to be a public display. It doesn't have to be a hobby that everyone knows about or that you update people on. It can be just yours. And I'm a big proponent of that. I think there's something special about understanding what we need to keep for ourselves or for the few people in our life. It honors who we are. It honors our energies. And so that really fits for me and my energy. And I think it fits for many people. In fact, the more I talk to people, they say, yeah, I like to keep things private. And that could even be a balancing factor from all the ways that things are public these days. So trust that. Trust what you need to keep private and honor it. Honor it for a good reason. So, okay, I feel some excitement in the air. I feel some people are tingly. Like you're happy, you're recharged, you're feeling like, okay, this is connecting, and that it's easy. Easy, 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 and simple. All about simple. I'm going to take a quick sip here on my water, and then we're going to talk about lunar eclipse energy. So I'll be right back in about 60 seconds. I'm going to play for you one of my favorite songs, and I'll be right back. Thank you. All right, I hope you had a chance to grab your astrology chart, and we're going to dive into this lunar eclipse energy. Now, the energy is exact on April 25th, 2013. That's tomorrow. But the energy starts building in usually about a month or so in advance, if not 2 months, and it can last on and on and on. Every eclipse has a different energetic signature. So this one is important because it's one of the most powerful energies that has come into the planet since December 21st, and it's going to help break up and break away and get through a lot of stuff that maybe has been in your energy field that you weren't aware of, that you've been carrying. This eclipse relates strongly to the theme of today's show, where we talked about finishing these different energies and being at the top of the spiral. So the full moon lunar eclipse is in Scorpio at 6 degrees. A full moon involves the moon, which is at 6 degrees, and the sun, which is at 6 degrees of Taurus. A full moon contains, by definition, an opposition between two energies. And so it's a full moon because it's really illuminating and showing us two sides. It's showing two different energies, which we could say as opposing energies, but they're just two energies that are working in different directions and yet often have many similarities. Now, it's also important to know that this is the first eclipse of three, and that is rare. Normally, we have two eclipses at a time, and so we have an extra one there, like a bonus eclipse, thrown in for good measure just to help us keep moving forward. And we talked about the energies are fast right now, and they're coming in fast. So this is part of what we're looking at here, is that there's, from now until late May, things are going to be moving and jamming, and it can feel really good sometimes, and it can feel really crappy sometimes, and it can be uplifting, and then you could be down in the dungeon. It's everything. It's everything. Now, I have a full write-up of this eclipse on the website, consciouscoolchic.com. You can find it there. It has a lot of good information. I started writing it, and it just got longer and longer and longer. So I trusted that. It has a few important questions to ask yourselves and just some things to look at and know about the energies. So I want to direct you there for more specifics about the eclipse. And then I want to dive into your chart. So what you want to do is locate 6 degrees of Scorpio in your astrology chart. Now, Scorpio, I have the image up there on Blog Talk Radio. You can see the glyph. Okay, the glyph of Scorpio has that little tail that goes up, looks like a stinger, but it also is the symbol of literally like transformation, of moving the energy up. So that's another way to look at Scorpio. So find that glyph in your chart and then look at where 6 degrees falls. I'm going to start with the first house and move around. Now, with the full moon, the energy is on the moon. It's on Scorpio, even though the sun is in Taurus at the opposite point, okay? At the new moon, where the moon is then conjunct the sun, the energetic focus is on the sun, but at this point, it's opposite the sun. So we look at the moon, and I'm going to be talking about where the moon is located, but then I want to also connect it to the opposite house, which is where you will see that opposite energy, okay? So let's get going here. If the Scorpio, 6 degrees of Scorpio, is in your first house, the first house is about your personal self-identity, your physical appearance, your style. It's about self-definition, how other people see you, the way you present yourself. If the full moon is in the first house here, you are going through a transformation in a very deep way around your self-identity, and it's probably bringing up some fears. Because this energy is scorpionic, it's going to bring up stuff that has been hidden, that has been kept away, that has been out of the way, it's been in your subconscious. It's bringing that up. It often shows up as the stuff we see and don't like in others first. And then you realize, oh, well, if I have someone in my life who's doing that, it means that it's a part of me that has that energy. So we're looking at parts of ourselves that are ready to be transformed. And in the first house, it's going to be more personal. And it's going to be even more, it could be kind of muddy. It could feel kind of just sticky because it's a part of you you didn't know before. But, you know, the beauty is that when you transform it up, it's literally like a phoenix rising from the ashes. You are elevating the energy. When you own something, say, for example, you're jealous or you're obsessive and it's something that you don't tell people about or you're very private, it's just something you know about yourself, or you're discovering. When you realize that, you understand that that energy can be transformed and that jealousy can move you into self-acceptance. And obsession is about passion. And so where do you move that passion next? Okay, so the point I'm getting at is that whatever's coming up for you, it's just ready to be moved into something else. And that's true for everyone, regardless of where this falls in your chart. So in the first house is about self-identity. Now the opposing house is the seventh house, and so it's related to your partner. This could be about relationship changes, new partnerships coming in. It can be about business developments, business changes, agreements you made, legal agreements. There could be other things happening there. And with the full moon, lunar eclipse, there's always a part of us that happens personally, and then a part of us where it happens publicly with others. So then we move into the second house, and this is about your value, what you value, your finances, self-worth, possessions, where you spend your money. An eclipse here could show you how you are investing and spending your resources and what is true for you. Are you really making good money decisions? It could be about new money coming in. It could be about a new value system. It could be about revealing where your self-worth is a little weak and needs to be stronger and fortified. The second house is about what you claim for yourself and finding peace with that, self-acceptance. The third house, this is where we have communication and our mental processes. This is where we work with our siblings, our neighbors, those in our local community. The third house deals with our daily activities and our daily routines and even short distance travel. It's about how you think, how you share your ideas. And so an eclipse in this area could be about a few things. Every eclipse energy can involve multiple developments. And so it could be about something with your siblings. It could be about developments in your neighborhood. It could be about unexpected communications coming in or unexpected new ideas. It could be about ways that you want to share yourself. So the third house is about your mental processes and looking at where your mind goes. Because of Scorpio energy, it can be deep. It can be intense. Now we move into the fourth house, and this is related to your emotional world, your private world, your roots, your home, where you come from. It's also about a comfort zone, like what is known to you? You know, where do you go to feel safe? An eclipse in this energy because it's so emotional, because Scorpio energy is deep, I feel it as being related to your emotional processes and those parts of you that you've kept hidden or you've kept away or you haven't wanted to look at. Well, now is the time to look at them, to own them, to see how that is part of your emotional foundation. And how can you shift your emotional foundation to support you better? In the fifth house, we look at your creativity, your self-expression, your pride, children, creativity, I said that, risk-taking, how you have fun, how you play. This is also about joy. You could have an infusion of new ways that you want to share your creativity and everything that you offer to the world. There could be something here around children. There could be something from your own childhood that comes up. You can feel the need to express yourself in a new way and to look at how you give love and receive love. In this position, you in the fifth house, it does relate to even how you interact with other people and demonstrate your passion and your how you feel good about yourself. Now, I realized for the first house, I talked about the first house and the seventh house, but I realized that what we're doing is we're focusing on the moon, and I could be adding too much information that could be confusing. So I did not do that. I'm just focusing on each singular house, and we're going to go all the way around the zodiac, of course. So now we go to the sixth house, and this is the house of service, of work, of your responsibilities. It relates to physical health, diet, hygiene, your natural skills and abilities, and even just how you serve other people, what you are responsible for. An eclipse in this house can mean a change in your work life. It can mean a change in your daily routine. You realize, okay, I really need to improve my healthy habits. I need to watch my diet and take responsibility for it better. That can show up as some kind of health crisis even to get your attention. So you want to take a look at how you are taking care of your physical body and how to improve that. Then we move into the seventh house, and this is where, again, we look at relationships. It's about cooperation, the commitments you make to other people, including business relationships and legal documents, relates to negotiations, contracts. And these, when an eclipse is in the seventh house, it can be that the eclipse energy comes through a partner where you meet somebody unexpectedly or business developments happen and they unfold. The other side of that is that it could be that business developments fall apart or they're not based on the right kind of energy, meaning you don't have that energetic connection with somebody and so the deal doesn't happen. It could mean looking at your relationships, looking at your business commitments. This involves other people. And keep in mind that when these changes come up, they're meant for your highest good. They're meant for you to look at parts of yourself you haven't seen before, to own it, to know that you can elevate the energy, you can change that pattern. Then we go into the eighth house, which is about shared resources, other people's opinions, deep transformation, support from others. It also includes sexuality, mysteries, psychology, taboos. An eclipse in this house is quite powerful because the eclipse is in Scorpio and this is the house ruled by Scorpio. This is about deep work. I mean, this is where you might really want to dig into yourself. You might want to go see a psychologist. If that's your thing, you might want to schedule a ton of different healing sessions with different practitioners. You might, you know, find yourself wanting to know more and more and more. It's an intense energy. It could also mean, again, that something changes through your partner, if you're in a partnership, and that you experience changes in your resources and access to in what you have access to, essentially. There could be someone who comes into your life who has very strong Scorpio energy and who wants to work with you. This energy is also about merging with others. Likewise, if you're in a situation with somebody else and it's done and it's time to go, this will break it apart. The eclipse will break it up and you will see that what's underneath it. There could be power struggles here. Power struggles is a big part of Scorpio energy, and that can be a good thing, and it can be a challenging thing, quote-unquote. I don't usually like to use those kind of polarities, but that's the reality, is that it can be difficult. Then we move into the ninth house, which is about education, philosophy, long-distance travel, searching for meaning and understanding. You know, you might be inspired to get the bigger picture. You might be ready for a grand life adventure. You want to go off and get into the world. You want to explore more. You want to know more about different religions. This energy is really powerful, and it could be that you want to get out and understand something bigger than you. It can also be that you connect with different philosophies and teachings that show you the bigger picture about the world. And it could be that you develop a new passion, that you really want to have a new focus in this area of your life, that you want to incorporate more of these understandings into your life. You want to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Then we go into the 10th house, which is about personal authority. It's about your career, your status in the world. It's about how you receive acknowledgement. It's about how you work with others and your leadership style. This could mean a change in a career. It could mean a change in your status. It could mean that new information and opportunities come through for you, that you are even put in a position of power or greater authority. This house is strong for connecting to your higher purpose and how you serve other people through society. It's the bigger picture. There's also a discipline associated with this part of the chart, staying on purpose and staying committed to what you want to manifest and what you want to create. So the 10th house is a very public domain, and that could be how this eclipse shows up for you. Then in the 11th house, we move into the area of bigger dreams and wishes and goals and how you connect with people. This house is associated with networking, social relationships, friendships, groups, different associations. There's a lot of giving here. There's also a lot of detachment. It's sort of about being your own pioneer and innovating something that is right for you, that is a gift to humanity. So how, you know, maybe it shows up as you just have a new passion. You found a new charity you want to be a part of, a new organization, a bigger dream for yourself. This is like the bigger picture stuff, and it's very inspiring. And it can be that this eclipse sends you off in a direction that connects you with those bigger passions. And then we come to our 12th house. And this house is associated with spirituality, with private matters, with even secrets or a review process. It's also associated with an ending and some stuff that's concealed from public view. The 12th house is very private. It wants its own space. It's associated with Pisces, and this is an energy where you are connected to everyone, but maybe you don't have your feet on the ground, and you're just feeling the need to be off in your own private world. An eclipse here can help you connect deeply into meditation, into spiritual pursuits, into other lifetimes. You can work deeply on your internal transformation. This usually involves a lot of trust, a lot of going with the flow, and that feeling of not being in control because there's something bigger happening behind the scenes. And so with an eclipse there, you might experience any scenario such as that. It is, again, a private matter. You might be even shown how you try to control things behind the scenes. That is a big part of it, of Scorpio energy in the 12th house. So I hope that rundown gave you some insights about this eclipse. It is the first of three, as I said. You can check out the full write-up on ConsciousCoolChic.com and even sign up for the email list and you get them delivered into your inbox. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. I felt it was really good. I was really happy to share all of this with you. I appreciate your time. And I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. And I'll be back here next week where I'm going to talk about being the spiritual black sheep in your family. Is that you? If so, I'll see you here next week. Thanks so much.
Cause in this moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could have this moment.